Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday Snippets. This is a time where we stop intentionally to reflect upon the readings that are appointed for this day. I pray that as you hear God's word, you would meditate upon it, think about it, and allow it to come into your life so that it might take root and plant and it would bear much fruit. Now we begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, you are the author of life and you adopt us to be your children. Fill us with your words of life that we may witness, that we may live as witnesses to the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. One of the readings appointed for this day comes from the book of 1 John, the 3rd chapter. The author writes, "See what love the Father has for us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sin, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or knows him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous." The word of the Lord. 1 John is an interesting little book. It's one of the epistles, but it's not really what you think about when you think of an epistle. An epistle is a letter. And 1 John really isn't a letter because there's no like greeting to the church of Ephesus or, noting the author or whatever. And there's no ending, salutation kind of thing. Rather, we think 1 John may actually be a sermon, an exhortation, a preaching of themes that are in the Gospel of John, and then they get picked up in 1 John, and then 2 and 3 John. Part of that is a sense of identity. This third chapter, listen to how he starts. "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." I thought a lot about this. And I think that in our world today, we talk a lot about identities. We seek to define who we are. And a lot of times, we identify ourselves in all kinds of ways. By our name, I am Steve. By our last name, Wood, that tells us the family that we're a part of. We identify ourselves by what we do. I am a pastor. Right? We identify ourselves by our family. I have a wife and two children. We define ourselves in the roles, right? I am a teacher. I am a parent or grandparent. I am this or that. In our world, sometimes we identify by I am a Republican or I'm a Democrat. I am this or I am that. And sometimes when we do that, I wonder if our identities end up causing greater divisions because it seeks to identify us and put us in a camp. I wonder if part of this letter, what it seeks to have us do, part of this sermon that is written, is to tell us our identity. tell us who we are, but maybe even greater, tell us whose we are. That we are a children of God, one who belongs to God, one who is made in the image of God. And for me, in many ways, it starts here at the baptismal font with these waters. That through these waters, we believe that somehow God is at work, active and powerful. That this water is just ordinary water. Comes from the tap where we turn on the sink in the kitchen or the bathroom or wherever. There's nothing special about it. But we believe that God is in with and under the water, and that through this, he claims us and he says, you are mine. That we're made in the image of God. The Latin phrase is the Imago Dei. We're made in the image of God, and God creates us to be his children, that we are children of God. And part of what that means is that we are given this inheritance. Jesus talks about the son is greater than the slave because the son or daughter has a place in the household forever. That when the waters of baptism claim us, when we understand our identity as a child of God, we're given this inheritance. We're given this gift of forgiveness of sin to go into the world and to be light. Because with the baptismal font, we also have the Paschal candle representing Jesus as the light of the world. And at least within our liturgy, when we have a baptism, we light a candle from this large candle, and we say to the person being baptized, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That as children of God, we are called to go and to be those hands and feet of Christ. Now, when we read in 1 John, it says, see what power, what love the Father has, that we should be called children of God, for that is what we are. When we keep reading it, it gives the impression, though, that we need to be perfect. Part of it is if we just stop and read this section, we may kind of get confused and get derailed because it makes it seem like we have to be perfect as Jesus is perfect, as we've been claimed in the waters of baptism, that because there's no sin in Jesus, there should be no sin in us. Part of it is we can't just read this little snippet, but if you read the beginning of 1 John, right, the beginning tells us, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, right? That part of it, it's this acknowledgement. I think what it's trying to get us to do is when we see ourselves as children of God, we should seek to live a life that's different. We may not think about it because when we baptize someone, we have this water. And some ways, outwardly, all that really happens, it seems, is our head may get wet, right? And then we towel it off. It doesn't seem like we've changed. I think part of this is it's calling us to realize that as God's love claims us, as we understand that we are Imago Dei, made in the image of God, that it should transform us so that it's not that we live without sin, but we strive to do what God desires for us. And will we do that perfectly? No. We all know that. But just because we can't achieve it all the time doesn't mean that we don't try. And I think that's part of where the author is going with this. He calls us to say, God has claimed us as his children. That's our primary identity. And as we seek to be like Christ, We should try to be like him in all things, to do the will of the Father, to seek to always do the will of the one who has sent us, to not miss that mark in sin. But thanks be to God, when we do miss the mark, when we do sin, we can acknowledge it. And there is grace and forgiveness. Because after all, this water, even though at times we may not always be wet, the reality is God is with us always. The waters of baptism never dry away, are never taken away and separated us, because God's love comes to us and says to you and to me and to all, you are mine. I created you in my image, and you are children of God. And that is what you are. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, maker of all, you have made us, you have redeemed us, your love has sanctified us. We give thanks that through your love in the waters of baptism, you claim us as your own and make us your children. Empower us as we seek to live like children of God. Help us to rely upon you in all things and at all times. By your love, you have purified us so that we may walk in the light. As we seek to walk in the light of Christ, may others see our words and actions and know of your love and your mercy for all people. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.